Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And to do so, we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline covering the NBA for Bleacher Report. A good friend of the show, Greg Swartz, joins us now. Greg, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me on tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I was hoping that when we were getting to talk around this time that we were going to be able to talk more Cavs basketball, Eastern Conference Finals on the way, and I'll be excited, but clearly the Cavs fell short. If we had to pinpoint it to one major reason, the overarching theme, where do we pin that for the Cavs?
Yeah, I actually made a list on Bleacher Report this week for kind of the top five reasons why I think the postseason fell apart. And there's a lot of things you can point to. Toughness, you can point to the disparity in three-point shooting between the two teams, something that was a major strength of the Cavs, not just in the regular season, but in the first round when they shot 44% from three against the Miami Heat. But at the end of the day, we didn't have the same team that we had when we saw him win 64 games. Like, if anyone watched Darius Garland during the regular season average 20-7 and make the All-Star team, that was not the same Darius Garland we saw. I mean, he was struggling to get past TJ McConnell and get any sort of penetration to the rim. And obviously DeAndre Hunter, if you look at his numbers when he came back from the wrist injury, 8 points a game, shot about 30%. And Evan Mobley too, even though the raw numbers look good, the Cavs were minus 35 in his minutes. That was the worst mark of any Cav, along with Dean Wade. So it's those three guys just clearly were not themselves. Obviously Ty Jerome was healthy, but looked injured with the way he played. I was just disappointed because this wasn't the team we saw all year. This wasn't, you know, Darius Garland at his prime. This wasn't DeAndre Hunter at his prime. This wasn't even Evan Mobley at his prime. So at the end of the day, I think you can point to a lot of things, but we didn't have our full healthy roster, and Indiana did, and I think that made the biggest difference.
So if we go to injuries, one of the overarching things, which I don't think is crazy, look at this team, and three of the top five players went through major injury. Even Donovan, I think, is fair to put into that. So you could say four out of the top five guys, four out of the top six, however you want to slice it. But ultimately, is relying on injuries a fair way in almost a, I don't want to call it a cop-out, but I think you're getting what am I alluding to basically keep this team together moving forward, saying it's just going to be better next year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can bring the same roster back, because you could point to injuries as one of the main reasons, as I just did, but I think it's painfully obvious this team isn't tough enough. And the NBA regular season is completely different from the playoffs. And I think if you would have looked at the game 25 years ago, it would have been a difference, but it wasn't a huge difference. And I think the last, especially 10 years that I've watched the league, it's become painfully obvious how different regular season basketball is to playoff basketball in terms of physicality. You've seen a lot of the scores and the pace just fall off the map in terms of just how the pace slows down compared to the regular season, the amount of three-pointers, just everything kind of reverts back to old-school basketball. And a lot of that is toughness. And a lot of that is, you know, who are the guys that are going to step up when the lights are the brightest? And right now, the Cavs don't have enough of those guys. There's a lot of guys that are good players, that are nice guys, and that's great for team chemistry. But I think the Cavs need more guys with an edge. They need that Josh Hart type, you know, that you see him just bleeding on the court for the New York Knicks the other night, and he's right back in the game and he's grabbing every rebound, and he's 6'4". Like, you just need guys with that kind of heart and that toughness. So I think there definitely needs to be some changes to the roster this summer.
Greg, is that something that's fixable with guys that are already there, or is that something that is just sort of universally accepted, is that it's instinctual? It's something that you're basically born with or taught at a very young age, and if you don't have it at this point, you're never going to have it.
Yeah, I think for the most part, that's true. I think guys that are tough in college and come into the league tough are the ones that you can point to and say, yeah, that's the guys that are tough now, the guys that, you know, haven't been that way. It's not like, you know, they can be 10 years in the career and just flip the switch and say, hey, I'm going to go set a really hard screen right now. I'm going to get in this guy's face and talk a little trash. And I don't think, if it's not authentic, I don't think the other team's going to respect it. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows that, you know, guys like Dylan Brooks, he's a tough player. Can he cross the line at times? Absolutely. But I don't want to go up against him every night. Steven Adams, I keep pointing to the Rockets because I think they're one of the toughest teams in the league, even though they're young. I'm not messing with Steven Adams. Like, I know that's not going to go over well if I do that. And I think if you look at the Cavs, and I've heard other people say this, nobody's scared of them. And I think there has to be a fear factor. You know, when the Cavs were going to the finals every year and playing the Warriors, oh my gosh, I mean, you were terrified because you're like, not only are they, you know, extremely talented and they can hit all these shots, but they've got, you know, Draymond and all these tough guys off their bench that you kind of had a real fear of. And I think right now, if you look at the Cavs, you know, obviously teams are going to fear Donovan with his scoring ability, but I don't think anyone's afraid of Jared Allen. I don't think anybody's afraid of Evan Mobley. I don't think anybody's afraid of Darius Garland. They respect him as players, but I don't think there's that fear factor there that the Cavs should hopefully have if they hope to be a title contender.
Greg Swartz of Bleacher Report with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, so if the Cavs are going to go through and they're going to make a move, potentially split up the core four, in your eyes, what guys out of that group are available and on the table this offseason?
Yeah, I think number one, Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley, you take them out of every discussion. You take them out of every phone call. Those are two guys, obviously Donovan. It's tough to find not only stars, but stars who shine the brightest in the playoffs. And Donovan's a top seven scorer in terms of points per game all time in postseason history. And it's insane that he's never made it out of the second round, because that's certainly not his fault. And we saw some of the 40-point performances he's had in this series. We've seen him in the bubble put up 50 points in multiple games in a series. Like, he's built for that stage. He loves that stage. So if I know I have Donovan and I've got him in the prime of his career and I've got him for, you know, multiple seasons under contract, which he's making $46 million next year, which is a lot of money. But when you look around the league and you see superstars all of a sudden making $50, $60 million, his salary is going to look really good. So you got to keep Donovan. You got to keep Evan. I know his salary jumped up once he won Defensive Player of the Year. It's still going to be a really good number moving forward. And everybody like that, I'm willing to have a conversation with. I don't want to trade Darius because we saw how good a healthy Darius Garland is this year. Jared Allen is one of my favorite players of all time. I just love his demeanor. I love that he doesn't have to have a role. But three straight postseasons where he's let you down. And I really like Jarrett, but I think that's a conversation you have to have. And then you go down the line, guys like Max, Isaac, DeAndre Hunter, you know, which one of those guys kind of becomes, well, we can't afford to keep everybody. Because as it stands right now, the Cavaliers are $11.2 million over the second apron. So they're already restricted on what trades they can make. You're going to have to move an Isaac Okoro and a secondary piece like a Dean Wade or a Craig Porter Jr. just to get out of that second apron to open up more trade possibilities for you. That's even before you fill out your roster. So things are going to get very complicated because this roster is getting expensive. So Kobe Altman is definitely going to have his work cut out for him this summer.
Greg, how realistic is it that the Cavs are able to get a deal done that doesn't include one of those guys while also getting under the second apron and being able to, you know, get somebody to essentially take on the contract of Isaac Okoro, which I think at least a lot of people in Cleveland look around right now and say that's not a great contract that a lot of teams probably want to take on. And only there really being a couple of guys that you can move outside that core four that really help you get under it.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's not a lot of teams out there with cap space. So if you're like, well, we just need to dump salary, well, you're kind of limited. The good news is you can trade players into a team's mid-level exception now, which you could not do before. So that's going to be like a $14 million kind of option for teams, and a team that would be willing to take on Isaac Okoro. He's owed $11 million next year. You could do that. His contract's not great, but it's not terrible. It's 2 years, $22 million. It's far less than, like I said, what the mid-level exception is going to be. So I could see a team maybe like the Brooklyn Nets that's rebuilding, that has a massive amount of cap space. You know, if they can't sign a big free agent this summer, they might say, yeah, we'll take on Isaac, and if you want a salary, dump him here. And Isaac's kind of the first guy I would point to and say, this guy's not a key member of the rotation anymore. We like him, but, you know, with all these guys on max deals, we can't afford to keep him. Because obviously I think you want to keep DeAndre Hunter because you just traded for him, but he's making $23 million. Max Strus, in my eyes, is one of the toughest guys on the team. He's one of the guys that's not afraid of the moment. I know he had a bad final game of the series, but he was really good before then. And he was one of the guys that he's not afraid to get in someone's face and talk a little trash and do the dirty work. So I got to keep Max too. So it's just going to be tough going down the line, especially with so few teams that have cap space that can take on players and take on extra money from teams that are looking to get back under the apron levels.
Again, Greg Swartz with us here on the hotline. So if you're looking to move on then from either Jared Allen or Darius Garland, as those are the two guys that obviously are part of the core four that you mentioned would be on the table, what is the type of archetype of player that you're looking to get back that from moving either of those guys actually helps improve the roster in its current iteration?
Yeah, I think the first thing I would look at is, number one, I definitely want to keep Darius. Like, I'm not calling other teams and saying, hey, what do you give me for Darius Garland? Like, make your offer. No, I'm not.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'm not going to do that, but if teams are calling, you know, it's Kobe's job to take those calls and listen. But if everybody says, hey, what do you want for Donovan or Evan? Yeah, I'm going to hang up very quickly on those. I think kind of the thing that stands out the most is I think Jarrett moving on kind of transforms this team in not a bad way either, because I think Evan, he's gotten stronger. I would not put him at center full time coming in the league, but he's definitely added some strength, some muscle to his frame. I would move him to center probably to a full time basis. I'd look for a guy in free agency, maybe like a Brook Lopez that I could hopefully get on the cheap. A guy that why would he go back to Milwaukee? He's probably looking for, you know, maybe a little less money and a little bit better chance to win a championship. So if I could get a guy like Brook Lopez cheap in free agency, I can move on from Jared Allen. Whether Brook Lopez starts or not, that gives you a guy, a veteran in that mold that, you know, Evan doesn't have to play center 36 minutes a night for 82 games, which I think would be a mistake. But if you move Evan to center, you can put DeAndre Hunter as your starting four. I don't think you have any problems there. Strus at your three, Darius and Donovan in your backcourt. I think it'd be a really good starting five. You'd be a little bit faster, a little bit more versatile. Your rebounding would take a little bit of a hit, but I'd like to see Evan Mobley in a full-time center role. I think he would thrive. And then off the bench, maybe add in just another wing, another ball handler if you can't bring back Ty Jerome, and just give yourself a little bit more versatility in that sense.
So if we go through and look at this team, Greg, I think another thing that people point out are some of the comments made by Kenny Atkinson, especially I know after game two, and I know that similar comments were made throughout the series where not only did you get out physical, but also they kind of wore you down, the Pacers did, throughout the course of the game. And this team got tired late into games. And we talked all season long about Kenny Atkinson managing the minutes, being able to play guys less. what ultimately is sort of that happy middle ground of getting these guys to somehow be available at the end of games and not be, you know, running out of gas, but then also managing injuries and finding that, you know, happy middle?
Yeah, I think going against the Pacers, I mean, that was a bad matchup for any team, but especially when you're playing with, you know, guys who miss games, guys who come back and can't play their normal minutes because they're hurt, because Pacers can legitimately go 10 players deep. And there's not many NBA teams that could do that. Like, if you look at the numbers, when were the Cavs beat the most? It's in the second and fourth quarter. Like, coming off a halftime in the third, okay, they had a rest, they were good. To start the game, they were good. In the second quarter, Cavs had a net rating of -11.5. In the fourth quarter was -6.5. Like, those were their problems. And you could tell, like, they were physically wearing down. So, obviously, depth is going to be, it's going to be tough because you're probably going to have to get rid of some of your guys to get under that second apron. And I think that's where you need guys like a Jalen Tyson, who you took in the first round next year. I think he's going to be a rotation player for you, kind of a versatile. I kind of compare him to Caris LeVert because he can just kind of do a lot of different things. Imani Bates is a guy I think they'll look at and say, well, is he ready for a rotation role? Luke Travers, who you brought over from Australia last year, played pretty well. Again, can do a lot of different things for you. Is he going to be a star? No, but he could be a potential rotation player for you. And then a guy like Craig Porter Jr., he's got a non-guaranteed deal, but it's only $2 million. And it's tough to find quality players in the NBA at that price. So I think, number one, you tap into what you have and say, all right, which one of these guys are ready to step up? Because we do have to try to keep our depth so we can keep our star numbers low, our star minutes low during the regular season, because obviously fatigue and depth became a real issue in the playoffs, especially once the injuries started piling up.
Craig, is it fair that, you know, we draw the comparisons of the Pacers, we look how deep that they went in the playoffs, how well they were able to manage it, that even the Cavs being the better regular season team can look at the Pacers sort of as a model to reshape the roster?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things I'd take away from Indiana. Depth, obviously, we talked about that. They're the only team, I don't know how many decades we've seen that all five starters are averaging over 14 points per game. It's kind of remarkable. Like, Pascal Siakam is their leading postseason scorer at 17. Like, that's not something you see very often, but obviously it's been working for them. And then I'd love to steal some of their players, too. If you could get an Aaron Nesmith and plug him into the Cavs starting lineup, a guy that plays defense extremely well, can shoot, and he's tough. Like, that's the kind of toughness that we need. And those players are not easy to find, guys that can play both ways and are tough. So if I'm looking at the Pacers, yeah, I admire their depth. Obviously, they're coached very well, but I also admire their toughness because there's a couple guys on that roster, they would check into a game and you're like, oh, crap. Like, I really don't want to see this guy right now. He's going to present some problems for us. So Cavs are going to have to be really creative with their offseason just because of their financial limitations. And hopefully they can bring up some of their young guys that they've had on two-way contracts and they can contribute next year as well.
Again, Greg Swartz, Bleacher Report, with us on the hotline. Craig, is it realistic to think that there's a world that we live in where it's possible Kobe Altman carries almost a sense of pride going into this offseason that he built the core four from the ground up, and with so many people ruling it out just one offseason ago, and then seeing the way it transformed in the regular season this year with Kenny Atkinson, that he would, you know, essentially carry a pride and not want to move on from any of those guys?
Probably. Kobe's going to do his end of the season availability on Monday. So we're going to have media's going to have a chance to talk to him then. He's going to give his final thoughts on the season. He's going to get asked about that. He's going to get asked about the core four. And he's probably going to say that he's really proud of him and he doesn't want to trade him, which is the right thing to say. You're not going to stand up there and say, yeah, we're definitely breaking this core up. We're not good enough. He's not going to say that. And he should be proud of this team. He should be proud of his coaching hire. He did the right thing by firing J.B. Bickerstaff, bringing in Kenny Atkinson. It was obviously the right choice. He did the right thing by taking the home run swing to get Donovan Mitchell. That was justified when Donovan re-signed last offseason. That trade has been a win no matter what. Obviously drafting Darius Garland, drafting Evan Mobley, yeah. Like, and then the smart trade to get Jared Allen, which only cost you a late first-round pick. Like, all of those were great moves. But at the end of the day, you can't look at this roster and say, this is perfect. I'm running this roster back 100%, not making any changes. I think that would be foolish. And obviously injuries had a lot to do with it. But like I said, this team's not tough enough mentally or physically. Depth's going to become an issue and finances are going to become an issue. So I think Kobe's got a lot to be proud of. But at the end of the day, he's got to realize that the job's not finished. This team's still not good enough.
Greg, real quick, I'll get you out of here with this one. As we look at Darius Garland, I know you express it, it's not somebody you'd be actively trying to trade. Operating under the second apron, I've seen a few guys thrown out. Do any of them move the needle for you? I've heard Tyler Hero, Franz Wagner, and Drew Holiday.
Drew, no, because of age. He's going to be 35 next month, so not interested there. Tyler Hero, I think... I don't think he'd want to come to Cleveland. I think he's pretty happy in Miami, and that would be kind of funny if he got traded for Darius after their little spat. But again, he's not the playmaker that Darius is. I'd rather have Darius. And the third one you said was who?
Franz Wagner.
Franz Wagner. Yeah, so Wagner, if we're trying to save money, we're not trading for Franz Wagner because he's starting a max extension himself coming off of this. So he's a good player. Probably not the most popular player in Cleveland after their series against the Orlando Magic last year. But he's a guy that, again, he's on a rookie max extension. So we'd just be trading one guy on a max deal for another one. So in the long run, that's not going to save you money there. So I think the Cavs, if they're going to trade Donovan Mitchell, or sorry, if they're going to trade Darius Garland, I think they got to look for either a player that is on an expiring deal or has a contract that depreciates in value, because just swapping max for max is not going to save this team money in the long run.
Greg, good stuff as always. I appreciate you hopping on, and I look forward to talking to you more throughout this Cavs offseason as we try to navigate the complicated road that it's going to be.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Greg Swartz, Bleacher Report, with us there. Just can't believe no more horns. Just right off of it.
No, not for now.
I thought you would have been happy by what Greg had to say, because he was very much in the boat of keep Darius. Like, if something comes along and Darius is involved and somebody presents you an offer, listen, if it makes sense, you can make the deal. But Greg was very much on the boat of, I'm not going through and looking for trade partners to completely try and move Darius as one of the main pieces. I thought he focused a lot more on Jared Allen as somebody that he focused on and not wanting to be there. Which brings me to what I want to ask you guys at 216-474-0092. Do you really want to trade Darius Garland, or are you just disappointed with the playoff performance and want to see improvement? Because I think it's obviously something where you might hear the question and go, well, that's stupid. I want to trade Darius Garland. Like, I'm not enjoying what he put out, but...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The regular season for Darius was really good. And I also think it was very clear that in that playoff series, Darius battled an injury that limited his mobility, probably limited his ability to get to the rim and then proceed to finish at the rim and shoot. Everything that he did on the floor was inhibited by the toe injury. And I'm not using an excuse. I'm not saying that's a full out, doesn't matter. And now we just let Darius roll on the way that he is. But at the same time, if he's still capable of putting up, you know, a really solid season next year and can transition that in the playoffs, if you get regular season Darius in the playoffs, we'd all be more than happy. It's just whether or not we can get that. And without you getting under the second apron at some point this offseason, which I think the Cavs, if I had to take a guess, are going to try to do, I don't know how simple of a fact that is going to be to get done, but they're going to try. I think they're attempting to get under that apron or at least reshape their roster to the point where they're over it, but they like it a lot better. But moving Darius, like I threw out a couple of the names that people have thrown out that would fit the contract requirements of guys that can be traded. Not getting under the apron necessarily, but the trade could get done with the apron in place, and that's Franz Wagner, Tyler Hero, Drew Holiday. I'll be honest, I don't know that any of those make me feel great. Like, I don't think I'd rather have Tyler Hero over Darius Garland, if I'm being honest. I don't think I'd rather, I definitely would rather have Drew Holiday. That one is blasphemous. I don't know who's trying to take a 35-year-old defensive-minded guard and trade him for a 20-something-year-old on a max contract. No, thank you. Franz is the only one that even like halfway excites me because I think it's a tough player that has the ability to score, has the ability to create for himself. But like when I asked Greg, he's like, it's not saving you any money. He's also on a rookie max extension starting this next year. Like, yes, the deal can get done, but you're still going to be operating under that apron. Doesn't get you under it, doesn't change your financials. You're still in basically the same spot. You're just hoping that Franz is a, you know, basically massive upgrade over Darius Garland. And I don't know that that's necessarily the case either. 216-474-0092. I want to get you guys in here on it. Let's go to Jerry in Cleveland. What's going on, Jerry?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
I'm pretty good. I wanted to say I hear everybody talking about the core four, but the way I look at it is Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell, and DeAndre Hunter. I've never been a fan of, although I like Darius Garland, I've never been a fan of so short of a backcourt. And I like what was said about the Indiana Pacers. They have a bunch of players that could score 14 and 15 points a game. And I'm going to tell you something. I like what, in a way, I like what the Dallas Mavericks did. I don't like trading away Luka, don't get me wrong, but the team they put together, if healthy, I think could have really went somewhere, and they picked up players who weren't really that big of known players, but could get you 15 points and play some defense. And I would like to, I would rather have Wiggins than Tyler Hero, because at least you know he could play some defense. Tyler Hero doesn't play any defense.
No, he does not. He certainly is not helping you on the defensive end of the ball. No doubt about it, Jerry.
Yeah, and that's what I think we need. I think we need I would like to see us get taller. And Jared Allen, I know you could get something for him, but, you know, we do need that nasty power guy. Now, I don't know if Evan Mobley's better at center or a power forward. I don't know. Maybe he's like Anthony Davis and is better. I'm not saying it's good, but is better playing the power forward role. I don't know.
Yeah, I almost look at it, though, and Jerry, I appreciate the call. I almost look at it with Jared Allen, and I do think that he sort of fits that billing as an offensive player in the regular season as, like you mentioned, a power guy. There's times where you'll see him finish emphatically at the rim. Feels like he's a walking double-double in the regular season. So if I got regular season Jared Allen, the same way that if I got regular season Darius Garland in the playoffs, I'd be happy. I'd be so incredibly happy if that was the case. The problem is I get to the playoffs and I don't get that Darius and I don't get that Jared Allen. I get across two games, 11 points and 6 rebounds out of Jared Allen in games 4 and 5. It's just not enough. He does not provide enough. And that's why I think when a lot of these guys that we're going to hear talk throughout the offseason, a lot of guys that we have on the show, your Danny Cunningham's, Greg Swartz, Ethan Sands, and so on and so forth, when we listen to those guys and we have those conversations, it's why they're going to say Darius Garland's on the table. It's why they're going to say that Jared Allen's on the table. Because the Cavs need to be playoff performers. And those two guys have proven over the last 3 years that they either are hurt during the playoffs or don't perform during the playoffs. And if you're looking to change that narrative and you're looking to move off of somebody, those are the two guys that if you're going to take the risk that they're not going to be as good when that time of the year comes up, you take the risk with those guys. Real quick, let's slip one more call in here. Let's get to William in Pepper Pike. What's going on, William?
Yes, Jake, how are you?
I'm doing good.
I was perturbed by what Greg Schwartz had to say. He didn't finish his thoughts, and he glossed over Jared Allen. The guy played 91 consecutive games this season. Certainly not soft, malleable, docile, like people say. And then he talks about eliminating him and talks about Brook Lopez. Lopez is obviously a free agent, so they can't trade him. They can only play him as a free agent. Then he immediately puts DeAndre Hunter in as a power forward and Strus, who's a guard at the small forward. That's even making the team smaller. Who did he want to replace Jared Allen with? He didn't even indicate any individual. That was not wise on his part. Now, if I were to trade Jared Allen, I wouldn't want to, but if I could get two players, Hashimura and Finney Smith, and I put definitely get Okoro's contract off, Jared Allen and Okoro, I looked at the trade machine, and it fits the parameters. It's exactly equal. Plus, with Allen's salary going up in a few years afterwards, they would actually save some money. But they can acquire Hashimura, who could be the starting power forward, and Hunter would be the starting small forward, and they'd bring Finney Smith off the bench, who gives him some size. He's at least a full 6'7". Hashimura's about 6'8", Hunter's 6'7". That gives them more versatility. And the Lakers need a center, and they might consummate that trade. That would be sensible. That would be the only way I would trade Allen, if I could also get rid of Okoro. His $11 million contract has put this team above this second apron.
Yeah, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad move, William. We're up against it, so I got to let you go, but I appreciate you making the call. But I think that the what you drew up was good. In Greg's defense, I did say the archetype of a player that you would trade away for one of those guys and not necessarily ask him to name individuals. Plus, I think that's a relatively hard thing to do. I don't know that everyone's dug into the trade machine right now and identified people. But I like the trade you drew up. If I get rid of Okoro and Allen and I get Rui and Dorian Finney-Smith back, you get probably a little bit older, I would imagine, adding Rui and Dorian. I mean, definitely with Dorian Finney-Smith, you got to get older. Is Dorian in his 30s by now? He has to be, right? Like, you get older, but that's probably what this team needs. And those are also two guys that have at different points showed up in the playoffs, I feel like. I don't have Rui's on hands. I know Dorian's played massive roles on playoff teams. I know Rui, I think this year, played a decent role at the Lakers and I think performed. But yeah, you get bigger, you get tougher. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think with a lot of what Greg had laid out in trying to build around the Pacers model, that trade would make a lot of sense. 216-474-0092. If you're going to trade Darius Garland, is there a name that you actually like? And no, Giannis is not an option. You can also get me on X at Vulnic Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. We'll get to that coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Vulnic on The Fan. Like, is there a name that stands out to you that you genuinely like? Because I'm going to be honest, we go through and we look at the guys that are there right now and have been thrown out as potential ideas, and I'm only counting the ones that I've read and at least taken any grain of salt with, because there's some wild ones out there. This is with the, you know, when I throw Jrue Holiday in the mix as a one-for-one, that some of these other ones are absolutely ridiculous. But is there any of those names that have stuck out to you as somebody who is of actual caliber, a one-for-one trade for Darius Garland? Because I think if you go through and you actually break it down, I kind of do like the Franz Wagner swap, understanding that it's not going to save you really anything cap-wise, but if you wanted to shake it up, and if Orlando is willing to shake it up, I think it'd be something that would make sense. Now, I don't know that Orlando would really want to do that, but they do need a guard. It at least fits some of what each team wants to do. The same way that William threw out the trade last segment of Rui and DFS and trading him for Jared Allen and Isaac Okoro. I think that fits the billing for each team, what they need to add. Probably not the Lakers pulling the trigger on it, just because your wings after that essentially become, I mean, if you count LeBron, oh, that's positionless basketball player. And then, as Jax pointed out to me during the break, Jared Vanderbilt and Isaac Okoro. Not a feeling like a really great room full of wings to build your team around. very, very big lack of depth coming from that team, going from, hey, you got LeBron, Rui, DFS, and by the way, Jared Vanderbilt's down there if you want him, to, you know, Jared Vanderbilt could start for this team. It's a chance. I don't think anybody's buying into that. But I just think as you look at the one-for-one trades for Darius Garland, nothing really stands out as a slam dunk, here's exactly what I need. Because if you want a guy that's tough, right, and you want a guy that really does improve your team, like Drew Holiday fits the billing as tough. We know he can show up in the playoffs. But he's also 34 years old, so you're getting nearly a decade older on this team and really shrinking your window there. You're getting a defensive guard who, yes, at that point would probably still start, but I don't know how much more you're getting out of Drew Holiday, and he's certainly not like a key piece for Boston. And by the way, you are just upgrading the Boston Celtics and extending out that window so dramatically that it's not funny. Like, you're helping, if you're trying to get better in the East, I think we can all agree that the roster from a talent perspective gets worse, and you're just helping Boston improve and then get right back into top-tier competition when the East right now, without making a move for next year, would be wide open. Cavs would have to make major internal improvements, but it's wide open. So I'm taking, absolutely taking Drew Holiday just out of the equation. That's an absolute no for me. If you make that move, I would probably spend the next year of Cleveland Sports Talk Radio here from 7 to 11 bashing the Cavs. You want a Cavs post-game show? Congratulations. Welcome to the next 4 hours, okay? We're going to break down every single step that Drew Holiday took on the floor and then break down the Celtics game for the last hour and how Darius Garland played a better game than Drew Holiday. That's what this show would turn into. We'd have to change the name. It would be like the Drew Holiday hate club in Cleveland. Nobody would want to listen to that, okay? It'd be a bad 4 hours of radio, but I would have a moral obligation. So let's take Drew Holiday off the table, right? And we're down to Franz Wagner and Tyler Hero. Now, I like Franz. I think Franz is the one that helps you the most. So I'll attack Tyler Hero to start. Guys, did we not learn a single lesson? We're talking about playoff performers and guys that need to step up in the big games. Isn't there some wild stat on Tyler Hero in closeout games just being one of the worst players in the history of basketball?
I mean, we saw it firsthand this year. Like, we don't even need to look at the stats.
He shot 1 of 9 from three.
It was horrible.
It was awful. And a back against their wall, they're like, we're not going out 4-0. And he pulled the Max Strus. He really did. And I don't mean that as a full-on attack on Max. I just mean he played a really bad game 5 against Indiana. But like, Max is like, hey, if you're not going to show up today, then really don't show up. Like, don't show up if you're not ready and prepared to go to all-out war and help this team come back from 3-1. And then Max didn't hit a shot all game. Again, bad performance, but it was the same thing from Tyler Hero. We're not going down 4-0. They're a better team without Darius Garland on the floor. Well, apparently a much better team, because he won by like 90-something points in the final two games against Miami. Tyler Hero bleeped the bed in that series. Absolutely terrible. And on top of that, how much better does Tyler Hero really get you? It's a guy that doesn't create his own shot. It's a guy that's a stationary. He's a good three-point shooter on a normal night. Good regular season performer. Doesn't play defense. The same way Darius Garland, at least Darius tries to play defense. He's just smaller guy. Small guy. I mean, he's got, I was going to say the same build as me. Very much different build. Same height, right around the same height that I do. Standing at 6 feet tall, 6'1". Like, if Darius and I are looking eyeball to eyeball, except the fact that he's probably like, I don't know, 140 pounds lighter than I am. It's a problem. Okay, it's a major problem. But he's at least going out there and throwing a body at people. Tyler Hero, hey, he might be 6'5". He's also 6'5 in a traffic cone as a defender. You don't get better with Tyler Hero. You actually, I think, by putting Tyler Hero on the team, create a ton more of weight on the shoulders of Donovan Mitchell to take over. So if you like the Hero thing, I say I'm fully out. Again, Franz Wagner is the interesting one. Because if you're the Cavs, you get younger, or right around. Darius is 25, Franz is 23, and will be 24 this year. So you get about a year younger. You're right around the same contract, but I think you'd get a player that's tough. I think you get a player that can obviously create his own shot, can score. You definitely get a massive height advantage on this team where I think you could comfortably play Evan Mobley at the five if you also wanted to move on from Jared Allen this offseason and really shake up the roster. I think you could make that deal. One, I don't think Orlando goes through and makes this because they just signed Franz, and I think they view him as very valuable to what they're looking to build. But, I mean, sure, you go and do that. You still have to make moves to get under the second apron. I still don't think that Franz Wagner is the missing piece that makes this team drastically a million times better. You still have a lot of work to do. So even if Franz makes sense, he can play defense. Again, he's gritty. He's mentally and physically tough. I think we see that in the Orlando series last year. But that's really the one-for-one trade, and I imagine Orlando probably hangs up that phone. You go, I'll do Darius for Franz straight up, and they probably go, try again. I just don't think that's enough. They need a point guard. I don't think they need Darius Garland as a point guard. They probably need more. And just of a facilitator and a guy that actually moves the ball and can create his own shot at least a little bit. All they got are defenders playing the guard position right now. Jax, you said he's on the table. Franz Wagner, you do it? One for one?
No.
What's missing? Other than the fact that we don't like Franz Wagner.
He doesn't really perform in the playoffs either.
I thought he played a decent series against the Cavs last year. No, I mean, he's not a great shooter.
That's the last thing you need is three dudes on the floor at the same time who, yeah, Mobley improved his three-pointer, but I mean,
in the final four games against the Cavs, he shot a combined, here we go, math on the air, 18 shots attempted. That would be seven made. 7 of 18 in the final four games against the Cavs in that seven-game series.
What about this year against Boston?
Well, Jack said, here comes more math. He did not play. He shot 19% from three. He shot 44% from the field.
I'm out.
I mean, he played a lot better last year than he did this year. Orlando had no chance against Boston. That was a sham of a series to begin with. Not to mention...
Yeah, I'm not saying that they had it. I'm just saying, like...
The spacings on that team is really bad.
And it would be the same if they traded Garland and it's Wagner, Mobley, and Allen on the floor at the same time. That's terrible.
Jared Allen might go in that equation, too. But, yeah. Like, again, I don't think it's great.
It's not better than what you have now.
I think that anything that you do, you have to get Donovan Mitchell help. You have to have him a running mate, which is like why Tyler Hero makes
Darius
sense.
Darius Garland is a better running mate than Franz Wagner.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it helps with your size and toughness problem, but.
Yeah, but it doesn't help with him getting offensive. Like, there's no way. No.
People are really eager to trade Luka. Maybe we could get Jared Allen for Luka done. Can we get that done? I don't think that fits the apron parameters.
Maybe we can get the first pick in the draft.
Yeah. Maybe the Mavs
are. Maybe Nico's just waiting to
get rid of it. Yeah. He's like, Cooper Flagg looks really nice, but how about I give you Kyrie, Anthony Davis, and Jared Allen? Here we go. Come on, Mavs fans. Are you not amped up? That'd be an all-timer. I'd love if they traded that. All right. Scott McLuhan coming in at 9:20 from Afternoon Drive earlier today, but in 5 minutes, get a grip as we always do at 9. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.